Well, hello again, tis myself, Miles McKee, with the Gospel Truth Podcast. I am delighted to be with you again this week. And I want to speak today about a wee message that I call Through the Bible in 15 Words. Yeah, 15 words, folks! You heard them first here. No, Through the Bible in 15 words. There's a great old Bible teacher. He's long gone now, but he's still on radio, and his name is J. Vernon McGee. And he talks about going through the Bible in 5 years. Well, today we're going to go through the Bible in 15 words. Are you ready for it? Okay, here's the 15 words. Here's the summary. In the Old Testament, we can summarize the Old Testament with three words. Behold, he comes. And then in the four Gospels, we have, behold, he dies. And then in Acts, behold, he lives. And then the epistles, behold, he saves. In the book of Revelation, behold, he reigns. 15 words. Behold, he comes. Behold, he dies. Behold, he lives. Behold, he saves. Behold, he reigns. Let's look at that first one. Behold, he comes. You know, there's a gradual picture given of Jesus in the Old Testament. Yeah, the Old Testament is a book about Jesus. And there's a gradual picture given of the coming prince, the coming king. Lots of prophecies and pictures. And each one gives a little bit more revelation about who he is. It all starts in Genesis 3:15. The Lord says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and he shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That's the first prophecy for the Bible. It sets the tone for the Bible. And the tone is this. There's someone coming. There's a deliverer coming. You've gone into debt. You've gone into bondage. You've gone into iniquity. But there's a deliverer, a rescuer coming. And, and that's why you read about in Colossians 2:15 that Christ triumphed over Satan at the cross, because it was all prophesied. All prophesied in that one prophecy. And then we come to Moses, and the Lord shall raise up a prophet like unto me. Unto him will you hearken, Deuteronomy 18:15. There's going to be a prophet. This is back in the book of Deuteronomy, there's going to be a prophet who's going to come and you'll listen to him. Well, that's speaking about Jesus. How do you know it's speaking about Jesus? Acts 3:22 talks about it. This is fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have the law. That points us towards Jesus. Oh, yeah, I can see that, because he tells you what you're not to do and everything, and that's what Jesus is all about. He's telling you what not to do. No. In the law, you have the shadow of good things to come. Hebrews 10, verse 1. And it's all particularly to do with the sacrificial system. That's what you get in the law. And that's all pointing, all those sacrifices, all those Hebrew sacrifices were pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. They were a shadow of the good things to come. Then you have the Passover night, Exodus chapter 12, and the blood of the lamb was on the doorpost. They put put the blood of the lamb. And then there's a Jewish tradition that the lamb was roasted on two sticks. One was vertical, the other was horizontal. Well, what's a vertical? That's the cross. Vertical and horizontal. Yes, the blood was put on the doorpost, and all that sheltered under the blood were saved. And that's the same way it is today. If you are sheltered under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are saved, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but you're saved by the blood. Behold, he comes. That's the message of Passover night. And then look at the tabernacle furniture. Yeah, there was the lampstand, the table, there was the incense altar, etc. When they were arranged in the tabernacle, they were arranged in the shape of a cross. What are they saying to us? They're saying, behold, he comes. And then Israel leaves Egypt and they're camped in the wilderness. I'm told that if you see the follow the directions, I've seen this illustrated. If you follow those directions of how they were to camp, they camped, the 2 million of them, camped in the shape of a cross. Oh, pointing towards the one who was to come. Yeah, in Isaiah, the great prophet Isaiah, we see the suffering, rejected Messiah. Isaiah, what's your message? My message, says Isaiah, behold, he comes. And then in Psalms 22, there's a prophetic picture of Christ on the cross, hundreds of years before crucifixion was ever invented. Oh, David, you who wrote Psalm 22, what's your message? My message, says David, behold, he comes. And then Zechariah 9:9, he writes about a donkey riding king who's going to be sold for the price of a slave. Zechariah 11:12-13, Zechariah, answer me, what's your message? My message, behold, he comes. And that brings us to the four Gospels, yeah. Behold, he dies. Different message. Four Gospels. The four Gospels record the crucifixion. There are certain things not recorded by one, which are recorded by the other Gospels. But everything in the Gospels is a build-up to the day when they could say, behold, he dies. They tell the story about his birth, but only to say that he was fit to die. He was born of a virgin, born sinless. This makes him fit to die. Behold, he dies. And the Gospels tell about his deeds, and they tell about his words, and they tell about all the things he did. And as man, he walked, and as God, he talked. Someone once said, his deeds were miracles, his words were oracles. Yeah, he did the works of God, and he spoke the words of God. And the one who would die would be God manifest in the flesh. That's staggering. Have you ever been staggered by this? That you say, my God, you died for me. Oh. Well, the Gospels record how he fulfilled all the messianic prophecies related to his first coming. And that made him fit to die. And they gave his genealogies to tell that he was Abraham's seed and David's seed, which the scriptures demanded. They told about his birth in Bethlehem, his coming out of Egypt, because the prophet said it would be true of him. There wasn't one thing that the Messiah was supposed to do for his first coming that Jesus didn't do. Even at the last, hanging on the cross, he said, I thirst. Why? Well, he was thirsty, but that was to fulfill the prophecy given in Psalm 69:21, in my thirst, it says, they gave me vinegar to drink. His death was, hey, listen to me, number one, his death was pre-planned. He was slain from the foundation of the earth. Before there ever was a sinner on earth, there was a Savior in heaven. His death was pre-planned. His death was, secondly, voluntary. Jesus said in John 10:17-18, no man takes my life from me. Aye. And at the cross he cried out with a loud voice. It wasn't the cry of a defeated man. He bowed his head and dismissed his spirit. His death was substitutionary. He was the great shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. His death was an all-sufficient death. It was once for all. Hebrews 10:10. There's no need for Jesus to be crucified again. Do you hear me? It's a finished work. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Oh, yeah, the priest stood on the east side of the altar, showing that the work was finished. The Old Testament priest, that is. Hey, Matthew, what's your message? Behold, he dies. Mark, what's your message? Behold, he dies. Luke, what's your message? Behold, he dies. John, what's your message? Behold, he dies. And that brings us to the book of Acts. What's the message of the book of Acts? Behold, he lives. Acts 2:32. This Jesus has God raised up for us. We are all witnesses. That sets the tone for the whole book. Jesus is not dead. Did you hear me? Jesus is not dead. He is alive. Behold, he lives. In Acts chapter 3, there was a lame man at the beautiful gate, and he was begging for money. You know that story. What did Peter say? Silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. The old Australian preacher said, the man asked for alms and he got legs instead. Well, listen, it demonstrated that Jesus was alive. Behold, he lives. And then in Acts 9:32 or Acts 9:33 to 34, there's Aeneas, 8 years in bed, sick with the palsy. And Peter says, Jesus Christ, make thee whole. And he rose up, or she rose up, and was healed. And two cities were converted as a result. Big revival happened. In the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus, make you whole. Well, listen, a dead man couldn't heal him. Acts 9:36. Tabitha, a woman full of good works. And she died. And it was terrible lamenting. And Peter went in and raised her from the dead. And as a result, many believed. What did they believe? That he was alive. Behold, he lives. It was the living Christ who stopped Paul in his tracks. A dead person doesn't do that, but the living Christ stopped Paul. Or Saul, as he was known then. Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord says, I am Jesus. I am Jesus. I'm not dead. I am Jesus. Oh, behold, he lives. Acts chapter 4, the Sadducees were grieved. As we learned in Bible college, the Sadducees were Sadducee. They were Sadducee because they didn't believe in the resurrection. Oh, no. They were grieved. They were grieved. Acts chapter 4, verse 2. They preached, the apostles preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. No wonder the Sadducees were grieved. Behold, he lives. Listen, what a wonderful message that God came to this earth, clothed himself with humanity, lived for us, died for us, was buried for us, rose again for us, and he is alive. Wonderful, wonderful. Ah, they preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. The argument of the apostles was that Christ is risen from the dead, and all who believe in Christ will be raised from the dead themselves. Isn't that great news? What's so bad about that? Why do people hate that message? If you trust in Christ, you'll be raised from the dead. It's not asking you to go on, the gospel doesn't ask you to go on big pilgrimages and climb on your hands and your knees and hurt yourself. No, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, trust in him, and you'll be saved. Because he lives, we shall live also. Behold, he lives. Look, we have seen. Behold, he comes. Behold, he dies. Behold, he lives. And now, behold, he saves. Yeah. He saves. Not Mary. Not the saints. He saves. And how does he do it? Well, listen to Romans 1:17. The just shall live by faith. Faith in what? Faith in Christ. Faith in the gospel. Faith in the doing and dying and rising again of Christ. The epistles teach us lots of things. They teach about gifts. They teach about baptism, holiness. But it never teaches these things as a means of salvation. Behold, he saves. Legalism is denounced and cursed. It's not by works. It's not off works. Salvation is not a do-it-yourself kit. Hello, I'll say that again. Salvation is not a do-it-yourself kit. Behold, he saves. Ezekiel 44:18, command to the priests, don't gird yourselves with anything that causes you to sweat. Why? Well, sweat. Think of it. Sweat came in through the curse. Sweat and work that causes you to sweat. And listen, you're not, the priests were not to clothe themselves with something that made them sweat. God abominates a sweaty priest. Yes, behold, he saves. It's not our effort. It's not our works. The old hymn writer said it so well. Upon a life I did not live, upon a death I did not die, upon another's death, another's life, another's death, I stake my whole eternity. Can you say that? Say it from your heart. Behold, he says, yes, Brother Miles, and he has saved me. Listen, if you're not saved, if you've not trusted Christ, let me ask you a question. Why will you perish? You've got an appointment with death. That's not an old fable. I'll tell you an old fable from the Middle East. This man was in a certain city and he saw the shrouded figure of death lifting his hands and pointing straight at him. And he says, oh no, I'm going to die, so I've got to avoid death. And he gets a horse and he rides for hours till at midnight he arrives in Medina. He gets off his horse and there is the shrouded finger of death. And the man says, ah, I saw you a number of hours ago and I've ridden to get away from you. He says, oh yes, I saw you too, and I lifted my hand to greet you, to tell you that we had an appointment in Medina at midnight. Behold, he saves. Jesus saves. He is the only one who can save, who does save. And this brings us to the book of Revelation. You can say what you want about the book. You can say it's pre-mill, a-mill, post-mill, or windmill, but the basic message is, behold, he reigns. Revelation 11:15, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah, he shall reign forever and ever. Behold, he reigns. Revelation 21:2. And I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. What's that saying, Brother Miles? It's saying, behold, he reigns. Revelation 21:24, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Behold, he reigns. There's so much emphasis nowadays about us leaving here, going, 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 waiting to go. Oh, yeah. Jesus will be back at any minute. Hey, listen, I believe that. I believe he'll be back at any minute. But we're taken up with going, 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 and that's not the burden of the scripture. There are three words. Number one, apocalypse, that means the manifestation. The second coming will bring the manifestation. Then there's the epiphaneia, the appearing. The second coming will bring his appearing. And the parousia, do you know what that means? That means presence. Oh. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We will see that. Behold, he reigns. Now look, we're going, 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 and he's coming, coming, coming. We might pass each other on the way. Ah, look, I'm only joking. But D.P. Williams, of the a Welsh, an old Welsh preacher, he said, brethren, our aim is to cross the globe, and we will not rest until Jesus reigns from pole to pole, and the earth that crucified him lies conquered at his pierced feet. Do you believe that will happen? You know something? We ought to live like that's what's going to happen. Get the gospel out this week. Get it out this month. Get the gospel out. Write it in Facebook. Send it to your friends. Get the gospel out. Oh, he will reign from coast to coast. What a fitting climax. The place that they crowned him with thorns, they'll crown him with glory. In the place where they said, away with him, they'll say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. In the place where they said, we will not have this man to reign over us, and they'll say, our master and our God. In the place they said, surely he is a devil, they'll say, all hail King Jesus, and he shall reign forever and ever, King of kings forever and ever. He shall reign King of kings forever and ever, and Lord of lords. Through the Bible in 15 words, behold he comes, behold he dies, behold he lives, behold he saves, behold he reigns. And that's the gospel truth. If I can help you in your spiritual walk, email me, miles@milesmckee.com. That's M-I-L-E-S, miles@milesmckee.com. Check our website out. You might also want to get, if you don't already get the Wednesday Word, email me, and we'll send you gospel-packed Wednesday Word. Until next time, may the Lord bless you. Well, hello again. Tis myself, Miles McKee, with the Gospel Truth Podcast. I am delighted to be with you again this week. And I want to speak today about a wee message that I call Through the Bible in 15 Words. Yeah, 15 words, folks. You heard them first here. No. Through the Bible in 15 words. There's a great old Bible teacher. He's long gone now, but he's still on radio, and his name is J. Vernon McGee, and he talks about going through the Bible in 5 years. Well, today we're going to go through the Bible in 15 words. Are you ready for it? Okay, here's the 15 words. Here's the summary. In the Old Testament, we can summarize the Old Testament with three words. Behold, he comes. And then in the four Gospels, we have, behold, he dies. And then in Acts, behold, he lives. And then the Epistles, behold, he saves. In the book of Revelation, behold, he reigns. 15 words. Behold, he comes. Behold, he dies. Behold, he lives. Behold, he saves. Behold, he reigns. Let's look at that first one. Behold, he comes. You know, there's a gradual picture given of Jesus in the Old Testament. Yeah, the Old Testament is a book about Jesus. And there's a gradual picture given of the coming prince, the coming king. Lots of prophecies and pictures. And each one gives a little bit more revelation about who he is. It all starts in Genesis 3:15. The Lord says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and he shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That's the first prophecy for the Bible. It sets the tone for the Bible. And the tone is this. There's someone coming. There's a deliverer coming. You've gone into debt. You've gone into bondage. You've gone into iniquity. But there's a deliverer, a rescuer coming. And, and that's why you read about in Colossians 2:15 that Christ triumphed over Satan at the cross, because it was all prophesied. All prophesied in that one prophecy. And then we come to Moses, and the Lord shall raise up a prophet like unto me. Unto him will you hearken, Deuteronomy 18:15. There's going to be a prophet. This is back in the book of Deuteronomy, there's going to be a prophet who's going to come and you'll listen to him. Well, that's speaking about Jesus. How do you know it's speaking about Jesus? Acts 3:22 talks about it. This is fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have the law. That points us towards Jesus. Oh, yeah, yeah, I can see that, because he tells you what you're not to do and everything, and that's what Jesus is all about. He's telling you what not to do. No. In the law, you have the shadow of good things to come. Hebrews 10, verse 1. And It's all particularly to do with the sacrificial system. That's what you get in the law. And that's all pointing, all those sacrifices, all those Hebrew sacrifices were pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. They were a shadow of the good things to come. Then you have the Passover night, Exodus chapter 12, and the blood of the lamb was on the doorpost. They put the door on the door, what you call it, the doorpost, put the blood of the lamb. And then there's a Jewish tradition that the lamb was roasted on two sticks. One was vertical, the other was horizontal. Well, what's a vertical? That's the cross, vertical and horizontal. Yes, the blood was put on the doorpost, and all that sheltered under the blood were saved. And that's the same way it is today. If you are sheltered under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are saved, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but you're saved by the blood. Behold, he comes. That's the message of Passover night. And then look at the tabernacle furniture. Yeah. There was the lampstand, the table, there was the incense altar, etc. When they were arranged in the tabernacle, they were arranged in the shape of a cross. What are they saying to us? They're saying, "Behold, he comes." And then Israel leaves Egypt and they're camped in the wilderness. I'm told that if you see the follow the directions. I've seen this illustrated. If you follow those directions of how they were to camp, they camped, the 2 million of them, camped in the shape of a cross. Oh, pointing towards the one who was to come. Yeah, in Isaiah, the great prophet Isaiah, we see the suffering, rejected Messiah. Isaiah, what's your message? My message, says Isaiah. Behold, he comes. And then in Psalms 22, there's a prophetic picture of Christ on the cross, hundreds of years before crucifixion was ever invented. Oh, David, you who wrote Psalm 22, what's your message? My message, says David, behold, he comes. And then Zechariah 9:9, he writes about a donkey riding king who's going to be sold for the price of a slave. Zechariah 11, 12 to 13. Zechariah, Zechariah, answer me. What's your message? My message? Behold, he comes. And that brings us to the four gospels. Yeah. Behold, he dies. Different message. Four gospels. The four gospels record the crucifixion. There's certain things not recorded by one which are recorded by the other gospels, but everything in the gospels is a build up to the day when they could say, "Behold, he dies." They tell the story about his birth, but only to say that he was fit to die. He was born of a virgin, born sinless. This makes him fit to die. Behold, he dies. And the gospels tell about his deeds, and they tell about his words, and they tell about all the things he did, and as man he walked, and as God he talked. Someone once said his deeds were miracles, his words were oracles. Yeah, he did the works of God, and he spoke the words of God. And the one who would die would be God manifest in the flesh. That's staggering. Have you ever been staggered by this? That you say, "My God, you died for me." Oh. Well, the Gospels record how he fulfilled all the messianic prophecies related to his first coming, and that made him fit to die. And they gave his genealogies to tell that he was Abraham's seed and David's seed, which the scriptures demanded. They told about his birth in Bethlehem, his coming out of Egypt, because the prophet said it would be true of him. There wasn't one thing that the Messiah was supposed to do for his first coming that Jesus didn't do. Even at the last, hanging on the cross, he said, "I thirst." Why? Well, he was thirsty, but that was to fulfill the prophecy given in Psalm 69:21. In my thirst, it says, they gave me vinegar to drink. His death was, hey, listen to me, A, number one, his death was pre-planned. He was slain from the foundation of the earth. Before there ever was a sinner on earth, there was a Savior in heaven. His death was pre-planned. His death was, secondly, voluntary. Jesus said in John 10, 17 to 18, "No man takes my life from me." Aye. And at the cross, he cried out with a loud voice. It wasn't the cry of a defeated man. He bowed his head and dismissed his spirit. His death was substitutionary. He was the great shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. His death was no sufficient death. It was once for all. Hebrews 10:10. There's no need for Jesus to be crucified again. Do you hear me? It's a finished work. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Oh yeah, the priest stood on the east side of the altar, showing that the work was finished. The Old Testament priest said is, "Hey Matthew, what's your message? Behold, he dies. Mark, what's your message? Behold, he dies. Luke, what's your message? Behold, he dies. John, what's your message? Behold, he dies." And that brings us to the book of Acts. What's the message of the book of Acts? Behold, he lives. Acts 2:32. "This Jesus has God raised up, whereas we are all witnesses." That sets the tone for the whole book. Jesus is not dead. Did you hear me? Jesus is not dead. He is alive. Behold, he lives. In Acts chapter 3, there was a lame man at the beautiful gate, and he was begging for money. You know that story. What did Peter say? "Silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk." The old Australian preacher said, "The man asked for alms and he got legs instead." Well, listen, it demonstrated that Jesus was alive. Behold, he lives. And then in Acts 9:32 or Acts 9:33 to 34, there's Aeneas, 8 years in bed, sick with the palsy. And Peter says, "Jesus Christ, make thee whole." And he rose up, or she rose up, and was healed. And two cities were converted as a result. Big revival happened. In the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus, make you whole. Well, listen, a dead man couldn't heal him. Acts 9:36. Tabitha, a woman full of good works. And she died. And it was terrible lamenting. And Peter went in and raised her from the dead. And as a result, many believed. What did they believe? That he was alive. Behold, he lives. It was the living Christ who stopped Paul in his tracks. A dead person doesn't do that, but the living Christ stopped Paul. Or Saul, as he was known then. "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord says, "I am Jesus. I am Jesus. I'm not dead. I am Jesus. Oh, behold, he lives." Acts chapter 4, the Sadducees were grieved. As we learned in Bible college, the Sadducees were Sadducee. They were Sadducee because they didn't believe in the resurrection. Oh, no. They were grieved. They were grieved. Acts chapter 4, verse 2. They preached, the apostles preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. No wonder the Sadducees were grieved. Behold, he lives. Listen, what a wonderful message that God came to this earth, clothed himself with humanity, lived for us, died for us, was buried for us, rose again for us, and he is alive. Wonderful, wonderful. Ah, they preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. The argument of the apostles was that Christ is risen from the dead, and all who believe in Christ will be raised from the dead themselves. Isn't that great news? What's so bad about that? Why do people hate that message? If you trust in Christ, you'll be raised from the dead. It's not asking you to go on, the gospel doesn't ask you to go on big pilgrimages and climb on your hands and your knees and hurt yourself. No, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, trust in him, and you'll be saved. Because he lives, we shall live also. Behold, he lives. Look, we have seen. Behold, he comes. Behold, he dies. Behold, he lives. And now, behold, he saves. Yeah? He saves. Not Mary. Not the saints. He saves. And how does he do it? Well, listen to Romans 1:17. The just shall live by faith. Faith in what? Faith in Christ. Faith in the gospel. Faith in the doing and dying and rising again of Christ. The epistles teach us lots of things. They teach about gifts. They teach about baptism, holiness. But it never teaches these things as a means of salvation. Behold, he saves. Legalism is denounced and cursed. It's not by works. It's not off works. Salvation is not a do-it-yourself kit. Hello, I'll say that again. Salvation is not a do-it-yourself kit. Behold, he saves. Ezekiel 44:18, command to the priests, don't gird yourselves with anything that causes you to sweat. Why? Well, sweat. Think of it. Sweat came in through the curse. Sweat and work that causes you to sweat. And listen, you're not, the priests were not to clothe themselves with something that made them sweat. God abominates a sweaty priest. Yes, behold, he saves. It's not our effort. It's not our works. The old hymn writer said it so well. Upon a life I did not live, upon a death I did not die, upon another's death, another's life, another's death, I stake my whole eternity. Can you say that? Say it from your heart. Behold, he said, yes, Brother Miles, and he has saved me. Listen, if you're not saved, if you've not trusted Christ, let me ask you a question. Why will you perish? You've got an appointment with death. That's not an old fable. I'll tell you an old fable from the Middle East. This man was in a certain city and he saw the shrouded figure of death lifting his hands and pointing straight at him. And he says, oh no, I'm going to die, so I've got to avoid death. And he gets a horse and he rides for hours till at midnight he arrives in Medina. He gets off his horse and there is the shrouded finger of death. And the man says, ah, I saw you a number of hours ago and I've ridden to get away from you. He says, oh yes, I saw you too and I lifted my hand to greet you, to tell you that we had an appointment in Medina at midnight. Behold, he saves. Jesus saves. He is the only one who can save, who does save. And this brings us to the book of Revelation. You can say what you want about the book. You can say it's pre-mill, a-mill, post-mill, or windmill, but the basic message is, behold, he reigns. Revelation 11:15, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah, he shall reign forever and ever. Behold, he reigns. Revelation 21:2, and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. What's that saying, Brother Miles? It's saying, behold, he reigns. Revelation 21:24, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Behold, he reigns. There's so much emphasis nowadays about us leaving here, going, waiting to go. Oh, yeah. Jesus will be back at any minute. Hey, listen, I believe that. I believe he'll be back at any minute. But we're taken up with going, but that's not the burden of the scripture. There are three words. Number one, apocalypse, that means the manifestation. The second coming will bring the manifestation. Then there's the epiphania, the appearing. The second coming will bring his appearing. And the parousia. Do you know what that means? That means presence. Oh, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We will see that. Behold, he reigns. Now look, we're going, 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 and he's coming, coming, coming. We might pass each other on the way. Ah, look, I'm only joking. But D.P. Williams, of the old Welsh preacher, he said, "Brethren, our aim is to cross the globe, and we will not rest until Jesus reigns from pole to pole, and the earth that crucified him lies conquered at his pierced feet." Do you believe that will happen? You know something? We ought to live like that's what's going to happen. Get the gospel out this week. Get it out this month. Get the gospel out. Write it in Facebook. Send it to your friends. Get the gospel out. Oh, he will reign from coast to coast. What a fitting climax. In the place that they crowned him with thorns, they'll crown him with glory. In the place where they said, "Away with him," they'll say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." In the place where they said, "We will not have this man to reign over us," and they'll say, "Our master and our God." In the place he said, they said, "Surely he is a devil," they'll say, "All hail King Jesus, and he shall reign forever and ever. King of kings forever and ever. And he shall reign King of kings forever and ever. And the Lord of lords." Through the Bible in 15 words. Behold, he comes. Behold, he dies. Behold, he lives. Behold, he saves. Behold, he reigns. And that's the gospel truth. If I can help you in your spiritual walk, email me, miles@milesmckee.com. That's M-I-L-E-S, miles@milesmckee.com. Check our website out. You might also want to get, if you don't already get the Wednesday Word, email me. And we'll send you gospel-packed Wednesday Word. Until next time. May the Lord bless you.